The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
All right, I've an in for Pat, and we're joined by my old mucker, Sean Defoe, the political editor for the Bauer Group of Stations. And, of course, on a Tuesday morning, the cabinet meets, I think, at 10 o'clock, and they've a full agenda, and we've other political stories in the mix today. Good morning, Sean. What can we expect out of cabinet? We've covered the apartment story, and there's the big increase in awards, which Jim O'Callaghan's looking at, 16.7%. What's catching your eye?
Yeah, those two obviously you've covered extensively, so we'll sort of maybe leave them where they are. Another bit of legislation from Jim O'Callaghan today is in relation to CAB and the seizure of assets from criminals, effectively. So he's bringing in new legislation to tighten up that system and make it more difficult for criminals to hold on to any assets they may have after they've been judged to be the proceeds of crime. So at the minute, there's a 7-year wait after they've been judged the proceeds of crime before the state can actually sell them off. He wants to cut that down to 2 years with sort of an appeals process built in. The reason for that is in situations where, let's say, it's a property and it's the proceeds of crime or has been paid for or renovated through the proceeds of crime, but there's people who aren't involved in criminality living in it, maybe the parents of the person in question or whatever, so they have a little bit of time to find other accommodation or to appeal that if they're the ones living in it, for example. Sort of an interesting bill. I mean, the state has said before and the Gardaí have said before that they don't ever really get the full value back on a lot of these assets that they do seize. Like if they seize a house and it's worth $1 million, but it's known to be a drug lord's house, you're only ever going to be able to sell it for a fraction of that because most people just won't want to go near it. So that's an interesting one that they're tightening up. The National Broadband Plan is before cabinet as well. An update from Patrick O'Donovan, who is saying rather rarely for a government contract, it has to be said that the broadband plan will be delivered ahead of time and within budget, and that the latest update on the project says that 400,000 premises will have been connected by the end of the summer. Their target, of course, was 420, so they're quite close to that, even though you can make an argument about the technology overtaking some of the National Broadband Plan. And then one that caught my eye, I suppose, because of my personal interest in it, is this bill of a right to be forgotten for cancer patients. So Catherine Arda, the Fianna Fáil TD, had brought forward this bill, and the idea of it was that for patients who had gotten over a cancer diagnosis, survivors of cancer who hadn't had treatment in the last 5 years, that they would have a right to be gotten whenever they're applying for any sort of a financial product, be that insurance, be that a mortgage, whatever it happens to be. Pascal Donoghue is stripping out a good bit of that bill, but still moving it forward. So he's going to limit the scope of it solely to mortgage protection insurance, but is going to push it forward and put that into law. So that's obviously a big one for cancer survivors. It's very hard to get mortgage protection insurance when you've had a cancer diagnosis. And there are people who are many, many years in remission who have to submit all sorts of documents and get further stuff from their consultant to even get there. So on one level, good news in that if you're 5 years over and 5 years without treatment, you'll be able to get access to mortgage protection insurance once this bill comes in. On the other hand, it isn't going to apply to things like life insurance, things like health insurance, which also prove quite difficult for cancer patients and cancer survivors to get access.
Okay,
to
a worthy move, but they could still do loading on it, or will it just be kind of like amnesia? It never happened.
Amnesia, you won't have to declare it, you won't have to say that you ever had a cancer diagnosis after those 5 years. That's the whole point. Within the 5 years, there'll still be the loading, but that after that, it will be like it didn't happen.
Okay. I never cease to be amazed what passes for political analysis this day and age. The Taoiseach's return trip on Saturday from Japan is attracting ire and interest. And what's the story here?
So he was obviously in Japan last week for a trade mission in a number of Japanese cities, and he flew back and was obviously seen as Cork gave Dublin an almighty hammering at the weekend in the hurling semi-final. And now there's controversy, I think it's on the front page of the Mail today, about the booking of those flights, because the Taoiseach was originally booked to fly back via Dubai on his flight home, and that was changed about a week before the flight was due to happen, and it instead, he flew back via Toronto, and that got him into Dublin about 5 hours earlier. He was due to get in at 12:15. He landed about 8:30 in the morning instead. And the suggestion is being made in the paper and also being hinted at by a number of TDs who are quoted, including Pádraig Tobin, that this wasn't done entirely so that the Taoiseach could attend the match, that he would be definitely back in time. And if there was any sort of a delay on his flight, he'd still be there and could go on to see Cork book their place in the final. Taoiseach, as I'm speaking on the way into Cabinet this morning, says it's totally untrue. He would have made the match no matter what.
I think that's the key point, that like he was due to land at midday. The throw-in was at 5:00. Like, it doesn't take that long to get from Dublin Airport to Croke Park.
Especially when you got the Blues and Twos leading the way and letting you get on in. I suppose the suggestion was that, you know, you can never quite rely on these international flights, that if you had a delay on the Toronto layover or whatever, could you miss it? But like, it's a 5 hour window. It's a bit of a stretch, I think. And the Taoiseach saying, look, it's totally untrue. The reason he didn't fly via Dubai was that the week before he flew, obviously everything was kicking off in the Middle East. A lot of airspaces were temporarily suspended, including in around Dubai, for a period of 24 hours, and that because of the uncertainty in the region, they decided to shift the flights and move it to Toronto. The cost is being queried as well in the Mail, depending on whether or not him and his team of six flew business class, and they're suggesting it could be sort of anywhere between the 10
they should have put
and
them
60
in the cargo,
grand range.
The cargo into the plane. But wait till I tell you. So it's a real sign that the silly season is starting. So Mary Lou is down at the Four Courts yesterday with Pa Daly over her court case for Super Juniors being unconstitutional or whatever. And she sort of cryptically says that, you know, she wouldn't rule anything in or anything out for the presidency. And a sort of flippant tongue-in-cheek, I thought, sort of cryptic remark that, you know, just keeping it open-ended. I thought it was absolute mischief-making. Do you think that Mary Lou is seriously considering being the candidate for the Oris?
So when I thought the exact same as you when I first heard it, and then I sort of remembered, well, hold on, she entirely ruled herself out a couple of months ago of it, said, whoever the candidate is, it's not going to be me. I want to be Taoiseach, and that's where I'm going to lead the country. So I rang a few people in Sinn Féin to find out what the story was. And the process they've had going on for the presidency is they've opened it up to all different levels of the party, to their local branches, to, you know, councillors, all that sort of stuff, to have their feedback and say who they think that the candidate should be. And the three main names that came out of that were Mary Lou McDonald, Michelle O'Neill, and John Finucane. And then as this committee, which will make a recommendation to the Ard Corla, and the Ard Corla who ultimately picks the name, got to considering, well, who can actually win it? And this is the problem that all the other political parties not named Fine Gael are having. You're going in with a standard of who can beat Mairead McGuinness. And to be frank, a lot of people I spoke to in Sinn Féin don't think Michelle O'Neill can win, and they don't think John Finucane can win. So that leaves them with one name of the ones that have been suggested, and that was Mary Lou McDonald. And they have started doing the thought exercise of, well, could she actually win? And would it be a better thing for us if she did? Would it be worth holding the presidency? Ultimately, I think she's not going to run. And the reason being that if she runs, I think she could well win it. I definitely think she could beat Mairead McGuinness. I think she could be the president. But you're also taking your strongest piece off the board politically for everything else, every leader's questions heading into the next few elections. She effectively becomes an independent candidate the day she steps through the Oras, an independent president. And as much as she might be able to stretch the role in a way Michael Dee has over the years, you're still not really able to influence actual policy in the way that Sinn Féin wants to. So that's where it's coming from. An idea that the only candidate Sinn Féin could back, internally at least, that could beat Mairead McGuinness is Mary Lou.
Okay. Which, well, first of all, I think there's a huge downside risk. If she doesn't make it, her credibility will be damaged. And there is a risk. And now she has a chance of winning it. But I would have thought Michelle O'Neill was a much better bet. First of all, you know, the main central narrative for Sinn Féin relative to the other left-wing parties is the whole next decade of unity. And therefore, and you know, they've pushed very strongly that this should be the last election, that people in the six counties wouldn't have a vote for the next president and so on. So they have a narrative on that. So I think that leads to, you know, a very strong potential to run a Northern candidate. The other thing that I think is definite is, because Fine Gael are going to definitely run a candidate, it's going to be a traditional election. Fine Gael, Fianna Fáil, and not a left unity candidate, but a Sinn Féin candidate to keep that brand, you know, in the top tier of politics. And therefore, I definitely think they won't be looking for a candidate that's a unit. They'll be looking to drive the Sinn Féin agenda forward. Would you agree with that?
Not necessarily, no. I think that makes an awful lot of sense in the analysis that you put forward. But I also think from speaking to people in Sinn Féin, they don't want to put forward a candidate who they think is just going to be there to make up the numbers and will lose. And again, people I spoke to weren't, even though she got 14%, it's very credible, Michelle O'Neill, in the Sindo poll at the weekend, they don't think that she can actually go and win it. And so the sort of logical thinking, at least among the people I spoke to, was, you know, they think Michelle O'Neill is too young. She's not well enough known in the north, in Northern Ireland. They don't think John Finucane has a chance. So therefore, your internal candidate would be Mary Lou MacDonald. But that's too much of a damage to the party if she does get elected to the presidency and takes her off the pitch. And your next step then is, do we go with a left unity candidate? Because the calculation is also, what is the presidency worth to that particular party? And for Fine Gael, obviously, they've never held it. They've never won it. It's worth a huge amount. It seems to be worth less to Fianna Fáil this time around, and they haven't run a candidate in the 21st century. And then for Sinn Féin, on one side, you can definitely make an argument that Sinn Féin holding the presidency would be huge politically. It would send an absolutely massive message, and they could use it as that post to push for Irish unity over the next 7 or even 14 years. On the other hand, do their voters really care that much about it? If they are appealing to sort of the working class people who are dissatisfied with the government, who want to, you know, make their lives better and sort of tax the rich and all this sort of stuff, is the office of the presidency really the prize that they want? And that's going to be the calculation when it comes to Mary Lou. Do they want her in the office of president or the office of Taoiseach?
All right. Well, you can rest assured this will run up the hill, down and back again. Because paper never refused ink. Sean Defoe, with all the analysis of what's coming up at Cabinet and who's throwing shapes in the presidency, no doubt this will run and run.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.